This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Auburn on the road at Arkansas. Stan White to talk about that. Let's bring him in off the bye week, rock star.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, Creamworks, Rentworks, yeah, the big dog's got it.
Former Auburn quarterback Stan White on the roundtable is brought to you by Creamworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. And now, Stan White.
He's with us each week on the Natty Seltzer Hotline. You'll hear him from Fayetteville, Arkansas, along with Andy Burcham and the entire Auburn Sports Network crew. Hello, Stan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, man. We appreciate it. So this will be game one without Booby Whitlow, and Auburn's got to find the answer. Well, what do you think the answer is? If I ask you who ends up with the most carries Saturday, where would you go?
Well, that's a good question. You know, they have several. Obviously, Cam Martin is the veteran of the bunch. Sean Shivers, of course, Harold Joyner is a local guy who could see some more carries. And then everyone talks about DJ Williams. Of course, Malik Miller is an older guy as well. But I'm anxious to see what the freshmen do, what DJ Williams, and then where Harold Joyner fits in as well. Joyner's a big kid. He's six. He's unlike your typical running back of today's stature. I mean, he's over 6 feet. He's 6'2", 6'3", almost. And a big guy, 220-pounder, and usually running backs are in that, 5'9", 5'10", range where they're kind of that low center of gravity. But it should be interesting to see how they distribute the running game this weekend.
Do you find it a little odd that Gus Malzahn is so adamant about not playing freshman running backs, but he's starting a true freshman quarterback?
The one thing that I think that most, not just Gus Malzahn, but most coaches have that kind of security blanket, if you will. If a guy has similar skill set, unless he's just an incredibly guy you just can't keep off the field. I think most coaches have that security blanket of a guy that's been there. He's been through the big games, especially on the road. So they kind of go back with what they know. But when you get a guy banged up, and now let's face it, Whitlow had not carried the ball as much the last couple of games. They were spreading it around pretty well. So he just happened to wake up and have a swollen knee, I guess, the next day. And so I think Gus did a great job against A&M out there of saving Whitlow to the end, and Mississippi State, he didn't carry it as many times as well. So, but now, you've got to have at least three quality running backs in the SEC to be able to get through a season.
The timing is good because there was a bye week to work on that. If there was one other thing other than finding the running back to step in for Whitlow that you wanted to see this team maybe work on and improve in the bye week, what would that have been, Stan?
Well, I think one thing a lot of people are harping on is how many lack of touches Schwartz is getting. But I look back at it, and guys, one reason for that, I believe, is because you've got the emergence of Eli Stove, who's come back into the lineup. I mean, he's second the team with 20 catches. He's got six rushes as well, which he's a jet sweep guy as well. So I think more than anything, it's probably taken away a little bit from Schwartz, who's got, five catches and five touches on jets. So, I don't know if it's as much, and Gus Malzahn admitted this. We got to get Anthony Schwartz the ball a little bit more because he's electrifying. But I think also, Eli Stove is back through spring where Schwartz was in running track. And so he's really done well. I mean, and Bo Nix has targeted him. Second in the league or second in the team behind Seth Williams in receiving.
Stan White is with us on the Natty Seltzer Hotline. He joins us each week, courtesy of our friends at Craneworks, Auburn and Arkansas, coming up from Fayetteville. The last time out was obviously the worst game Bo Nix has played. How important is it to get him in a rhythm? Because now you've had a bye week too. He didn't get to get right back on the field. How important is it to get him in a rhythm and give him stuff to build confidence early in this game against Arkansas?
I think it's very important. I mean, this is an Arkansas team. Obviously, they have not had the kind of year they like. But their last three games have been close losses. I mean, they've lost by 4 and 4 to two SEC teams. And so, it's not like they are just getting blown out. And this is a game that will be difficult on the road. I think the biggest thing, I think the biggest help that Auburn gets is it had a bye week, because if they went down to Florida and lost a tough game and then they had to travel straight back to Arkansas, you know, then I think it's not that I don't think Auburn should have won the game, but it would have been a lot tougher, I believe. And so it's going to be difficult, but I think the biggest thing is that you got to get Bo Nix into some rhythm early on, get him some, maybe some runs. I'm a big fan of the quarterback getting a couple of runs in early in the game, just to kind of get your energy going and get in the rhythm of the game. And so I think that's that. When they've had success and he has had success, they've called his number early on in a read option where he kept it. And they've had success with that when he's been averaging 8 or 10 yards per carry. Your second carry when he's tucked the ball and run it.
Coming off a loss and coming off a bye, is this a type of game you want to play, though? And the reason I ask that, I think Arkansas has lost like 16 or 17 straight conference games, so there's not a lot of expectation for Auburn to lose this game. It's a sleepy 11 o'clock game. Would it be better to maybe be playing like an LSU?
No. No, I mean, have you seen LSU play? I know you have. No, I think this is a great time because, you know, Auburn, I mean, we all know this, the month of October, they're not at home at all. I mean, they have zero home, which I can't remember the last time that happened. So, you know, they had to go to a tough environment in Gainesville. And then you got that off week right at the halfway mark. And then you go to a Fayetteville. Been able to kind of get your body back and get those nicks and bruises healed up, because not that this game's not going to be physical. It will be. But I'm going to tell you something. 2 weeks will be very physical. And so, yeah, I think this is a perfect slot to be in. If you're going to have all these road games in October, I think this is a good slot for it to be in, because then you got to go to Baton Rouge in 2 weeks. But now this game Saturday is about adjustments, what they've done in reevaluating what they've done. And Gus has always done very well with that. What is he, 8-0 off 5 weeks and 7-0 in SEC play? So he's done a very good job of being able to self-scout, so to speak. And they've had success off that. Now let's see if it continues this Saturday.
And with that LSU game pending after Arkansas, you watch that team play. You've got to tackle well, because they have some receivers – and running backs that if you miss one tackle, we saw against Florida, they can take it to the house. Tell me about Auburn's secondary and how they have improved since they were so young, so many of those veterans back there at tackling. One guy that pops to mind is Jeremiah Denson, one of the better tacklers on the team.
Yeah, he is. He's a leading tackler on the team. And I tell you what, the secondary has really done a good job. Now, I think if you look statistically-wise, Auburn's giving up some decent chunks of passing yardage. But if you look more closely at it, it's in games that they were pretty much in control of, and they allowed some shorter underneath passes to go. So I think that's kind of maybe a misspoken statistic, so to speak. I think Noah Igbinoghene's really had a good year. Now, I know he got flagged a couple of times late in that Florida game. And, yeah, they were passing interference. They were PIs, there's no doubt. But they're playing physical. Kevin Steele wants to play a physical defensive backfield. He'll play up in your face. And you have to play teams with electric wide receivers. And we know they're about to play a team in LSU that's got some really good ones. And, of course, at the end of the year, you got the best group of wide receivers that maybe I've ever seen on a college football team. You've got to be able to knock them off routes. You've got to be able to be physical with them. Even if you're going to suffer a couple of pass interference or holding calls, you can't just allow free releases during the entire game. You've got to be able to mix it up some. And that's what Igbinoghene and, of course, Javaris Davis and Jeremiah Denson and McCreary, who's their third corner, and Christian Tutt. I mean, these guys have got experience back there now. They're going to go up some big plays, there's no doubt. But their tackling has been really, really good this year.
But also, I mean, roughing those receivers up a little bit at the line of scrimmage only helps Derrick Brown and those guys get to the quarterback, too. I mean, that gets a quarterback out of his rhythm as well, right? He's got to hold it for another beat. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're a quarterback, you love man-to-man coverage. But also, it can come back to haunt you as well. And you've heard defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators say, look, man-to-man coverage, you're going to have one band's playing. Either we're going to sack you or we're going to give up touchdown. And so what it does is when you quarterback and you've got two of the best quarterbacks you're going to face in the country over these last 6 weeks, really three of them. Well, Fromm didn't have a great weekend last weekend, but he's still up there as one of the better ones. you've got to be able to get a quarterback off rhythm a little bit. I mean, if you allow a free release and those slants and fades and drags and those mesh routes and all that, I mean, they can eat up any defensive backfield. And so when you've got the kind of defensive front that Auburn has, that's what teams will want to do. They want to get rid of the ball quicker. They want to get it out quick, get a three-yard slant route for 40 yards. Well, to combat that, I mean, it's a big chess match. To combat that, you got to break them off their rhythm. You got to get them off their route a little bit, make them hold the ball a fraction of a second longer. And so that's where the defensive backfield for Auburn is going to be key over the next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks.
All right, 11 a.m. SEC Network. Auburn is at Arkansas. Stan White, Andy Burcham, Jason Campbell, Ronnie Brown, the entire gang there from Fayetteville. Stan joins us each week, courtesy of our friends at Craneworks.
Yeah, with offices in Mobile and Birmingham all the way up to Nashville, Craneworks is the Southeast leader in heavy rental and crane equipment. If you have any earth-moving jobs you have to do, look them up. They've been a pillar down on the south side on the Red Mountain Expressway for several years now, and they're great folks over there. And so give them a call or go to craneworks.com.
Stan, thank you. Have a great trip.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right, Stan with us on the Natty Seltzer Hotline, the hottest spiked seltzer on the market, two great flavors, cherry lime and mango peach.